Jamie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well, and hope your weather where you are is improving. I'm so fed up with the rain and how you're feeling, but I'm hoping the sunshine is going to come soon. It is only just over a week to go till Sunday, the 1st of March. And if I can inspire you, encourage you to come to the Health Hub in London, it would just be amazing to meet you. I'm so looking forward to being part of this event. It's the Wellness Way Health Hub at the College of Naturopathic Medicine. There are going to be some amazing speakers, some amazing people there. I'm one of the speakers, and I'm also hosting a little reception at the end of the day to celebrate my 20 years since my first book came out, Imperfectly Natural Woman. So that's a really big deal. 20 years, for goodness sake. I was a bit ahead of my time, wasn't I, really? Peaked too early. I'm going to be doing that at 5 p.m. on that day. And also, of course, the official launch of the Platinum Awards to recognise the best in natural products. So all of that is happening Sunday, 1st of March. If you decide to get yourself a ticket for the day, you'll also be very welcome to come to my reception. Just drop me a message. I'd love meeting podcast listeners. It'd be fantastic to meet you. And if you are a natural brand, then do check out the awards, because it's loads of fabulous promo for you. And one of the speakers who is going to be at the Health Hub and displaying his goods and wares is the wonderful Clive DeCarle. And I'm going to bring you an interview with Clive today, because, you know, you can't get enough of his amazing wisdom, really. So grab yourself a ticket to the Health Hub. If you go to the show notes, you'll see the link there, or you can go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, and you'll see that link. You can use my discount code imperfectlynat in capitals to get a discount off your ticket. And it would just be amazing to see a bunch of podcast listeners there. I think the thing is, you know, so often once you quit the booze, that is when you start realizing, actually, I do want to take back control. I do want to start caring about my health and well-being. You know, it feels important to me. You know, partly my talk is going to be around clean beauty and skincare, and the fact that what you put on your skin goes within. So you don't want your products with alcohol in either, do you? So we'll be talking about that and a whole host of other fascinating holistic health topics. And Clive is always just the best guest for that. So please book your tickets, and I hope you enjoy the interview today. And just also a reminder that I think I did ask you to save the date. I hope you will. But March 25th in London, live podcast recording with a very special guest. I'm about to announce it, but just making sure it's all on. But please save the date, and then just check in at thesoberclub.com/events. For those of you who have quit the booze, and you're now thinking, do I want to support other people? Could I help someone? It's amazing how when you've quit the booze, when you've stepped into that new identity, it is really interesting how there's something about your energy and people come up to you. You know, I've heard it so many times. Someone will say, you know, it's very strange. It's like the third day in a row at work that I go to get myself a cup of water, and someone says, could I have a little chat with you about, you know, you're looking so great. And I know you've got so much more energy and clarity, and I need that. Can I have a little chat with you? So if you're at the stage where you're thinking, you know, I wonder if I could help someone, I wonder if I could support others and inspire them, then don't forget our Sober Coach training programs are very comprehensive. You do not need to already be a coach. You can go from where you are, which is sober. You do have to have quit the booze. You have to absolutely know what it feels like to have chosen to not to drink alcohol. And we teach you kind of everything else and give you all the skills you need to get going, which, you know, it's a very comprehensive program and a very holistic program. So if that's of interest to you, drop me a message. You can find out more information at thesoberclub.com. And we've got another webinar as well, which is scheduled for March the 17th. So do come, you know, just check that out. If you've been thinking, maybe I'd like a new purpose, you know, maybe for the future, it's something I could see myself doing, really rewarding work. So our next training is at the end of April, and there's another one in June. Now we've put another 2-day training, the training lasts across 7 weeks, but the first 2 days are in person if you can make it. Appreciate some people are the other side of the world, but for those people who can attend in person, we've got two intensive weekends. One is the 25th, 26th of April, and the new one just added in is 27th, 28th of June. So it would be great to have a chat with you. That's something of interest. So yeah, thesoberclub.com. Check your diary, check the calendar, as it were, and see if that's there's any events there that you want to be part of. Connection's just it's just key, isn't it, really? And I know I say it the whole time, but come join us in the Sober Club, because it's very low cost, it's very high value, and that sense of being connected, it's amazing. We had an interesting post in there this week where someone was saying that she'd been sober for a year, I think, or just over a year, but still that fading effect bias comes in sometimes, that those rose colored glasses kind of thoughts, like, oh, well, I've been sober for a year now, I'm obviously okay, I can handle it, and oh, wouldn't it be nice to, it's just the wine witch thoughts popping back, the old neural pathways kicking in. And really, what's needed there is just to keep the fires burning, to keep yourself inspired and connected. Because as soon as someone posts something like that, you're bombarded with people love bombing you in a completely non-judgmental way, saying, yeah, I know, I get that. I felt the same way for a while, but man, am I glad that I chose not to go back to drinking. I'm so grateful that I stuck with it. And then, of course, other people who say, yeah, that did happen to me. I was sober for a year, 2 years, whatever. And then I did relapse. And, God, I regret it. That's typically what people say. I don't think I'm not sure I've ever met anyone actually who says, I really prefer myself drunk. I really prefer myself when I'm someone who is caught in the alcohol trap and drinking the whole time. It's just not possible. It's just a world apart. And if you are early on in your journey, you're probably thinking, what's she on about? Talking about, people who've been sober for a year, people who are training to be sober coaches. I'm only day one. You're very welcome here, because, it doesn't matter what stage you're at, quitting alcohol will be the most important thing you'll ever do for your health and well-being. It has to sit under everything, really does, has to underpin it all. So I really hope you'll enjoy this interview with Clive. If you go to the show notes, again, or go to the Sober Club, you'll see a link there to click through to Clive's site to buy any of the supplements that he recommends. You know that I'm a massive fan of Clive's magnesium. I just don't think there's anything else like it. And if you use the link that's on the show notes, full transparency, there's a little bit of cash goes into our Sober Club Give Back Fund. So that's kind of a little charitable section of the Sober Club. So I would be really grateful if you don't mind using that link to click through. That's Clive's gift to us. So yeah, I really hope you enjoy this interview. You might need a pen and paper.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.com. www.clientswalk.org.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I'm so delighted that my guest is Clive de Carle. Thank you for joining us, Clive.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, Jane.
It feels like ages, yeah, ages since we caught up. But of course, it feels like I connected with you all the time because I'm constantly banging on about your fabulous supplements. Barely a day goes by when I don't recommend it to somebody. So it feels to me like you're very much part of everything that I do, actually. So it's really great to catch up. And what I'd really love, Clive, is if you just share a little bit of how you got into all of this, because your story, as with so many people, it's the reason why you do what you do, right? So just share a bit of that first before we get into the supplement stuff.
Well, it's one of those things where the worst things that happen to you in life can, yeah. If you can get to that stage of gratitude that, yeah, that terrible thing happened, then you can really grow from that. Well, what started it for me was actually becoming incredibly ill. I took an antibiotic, which a few weeks later ended me up in hospital. I'd become type 1 diabetic. I got rheumatoid arthritis to the stage where I could no longer walk. And one morning I couldn't get out of bed and I couldn't get dressed. So after weeks in hospital, they tried to give me drugs, but I wouldn't accept them. And I figured it out. I figured out what the antibiotics had done and what I needed to do to repair my body. And after a while, all the rheumatoid arthritis went away, which the doctors were amazed about because they'd never seen that happen. But yeah, obviously the body is self-repairing if you give it half the chance. So at that point, I was working in the industry of ophthalmic optics, and I used to go into hospitals and fix up equipment for them. And I was lucky enough to see brain surgery and eye surgery and so on. I got to see doctors and particularly emergency rooms firsthand. And I realized at that point two things. One, how incredible some doctors were. I mean, I knew one particular neurosurgeon that I worked very closely with, so 40 years ago, who was the kindest hearted, most generous person I'd virtually ever met. He would put his entire life into saving people's lives if they had brain damage. It was incredible. Then I saw doctors like the one who I went to see after I'd taken the antibiotic, who got really ill, who had no idea what was wrong with me. He was unable to diagnose type 1 diabetes, which is insane. It's really easy to diagnose. And so at the one level, I was incredibly impressed, particularly with emergency room doctors, because their job is to save your life. Whereas GPs, their job would appear to be put you on drugs that won't cure anything, but will get you on a series of treatments for life, which will make lots of money for the pharmaceutical industry. Mm. So I got pretty disillusioned with doctors. And then after I recovered, my dad's best friend got cancer for the second time and was told he had weeks to live. He started taking vitamin C. He was taking 35 grams of vitamin C every day.
Oh, wow. That is a lot.
That's a lot. And when he did die, which was 20 years later, it wasn't from cancer.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, my granny used to say, doctors told my granny that she wouldn't live beyond 20. And when she was 84, she said that she was really proud she'd outlived eight doctors.
Amazing. I know it's such a thing, isn't it, when you can finally make that shift into realizing that the body can heal itself, you know, given the right environments and stuff. And I know that one thing you talk about a lot is the fact that pretty much all illness, I mean, obviously if you've got a serious injury or whatever, it's different, but pretty much all illness is down to either toxicity or deficiency or both.
Yeah, and it's always both because we're all toxically
Yeah,
poisoned to
sure.
breathe or have a bath in chlorinated water. So that's all of us. And the thing is that what they told me 40-odd years ago when I got the arthritis was they said, you've got an autoimmune disease. What's happened is your body is fighting against itself. And I couldn't accept that at the time, and I accept it even less now. The truth was, I was poisoned. They gave me a pharmaceutical drug, an antibiotic. I was poisoned.
Yeah.
Then, when almost all of us were young, they poisoned us, didn't they? They popped something in our
Yeah,
arm.
absolutely.
And then later, we probably took pharmaceutical drugs or whatever, even from the chemist. Over-the-counter drugs can be very dangerous. And the doctor says, it's your fault. You've got autoimmune. Your body's fighting against itself. We can make it better.
Yeah.
Whereas what they should be saying is, I'm really sorry that we did that to you when you're a child. And in England now, there are 54 in different vaccinations that children get.
Yeah.
54.
I thought it was
Some of
even
them in
more than
batches.
that, actually. When you dissect the individual vaccines, sometimes there's more within it. So
Yeah,
it's
no,
a staggering.
that is dissecting it. In
Right, okay.
America, it's
So it's 54 different ones.
yeah.
Good
And
God.
as I said, it feels like less because a lot of them are grouped together. But
Yeah.
it's insane, untested, particularly untested in combination with another untested drug.
Yeah,
There are
yeah.
54 of them.
Yeah.
Did our ancestors need 54 drugs to stay alive or to stay well? No. They ate seasonally, they ate locally,
Yeah.
they ate stuff they'd probably grown themselves, and essentially they lived long, long, healthy lives, except when government stepped in and said, well, there's a war now.
Yeah, it's so true. So how did you back then and now, I guess as you say, most of us are toxic. There's going to be some toxicity because of everything. But how do we start to recognize what the deficiencies might be? Because it's going to be different for all of us. Or would you say that, I mean, one thing we can talk about is sort of what are the kind of the basics that really all of us are going to be deficient in? I know magnesium is going to be one. You and I have spoken about that a lot in the past. And you mentioned vitamin C, that massively high dose. It's only in recent years that I've realized the importance of vitamin C. I used to think, oh, if it's winter and you've got a cold coming on, have a bit, but I now realize that we can't make it, and just having the odd orange is not going to cut it.
Well, vitamin C is an interesting one. Minerals last forever. They're eternal, but vitamins deteriorate from the moment you've picked it. So by the time we've got it after it's flown in from somewhere or sat in a warehouse or a supermarket back room or whatever, it's not fresh. So there isn't much vitamin C, even if we think we're doing a good job eating lots of red peppers or other vitamin C type materials like oranges or lemons or something, but most people aren't getting enough. And so there are various things that vitamin C works very well for. One of them is a bacterial infection. And I recommend everybody spends 4 minutes watching a video which is called Reverse Pneumonia in 3 Hours. Now, in this short video, Dr. Andrew Saul explains how he gets bacterial pneumonia. So you've got a very high temperature. People can die from pneumonia. Anyway, he decides to take 2 grams, which is about half a teaspoonful of vitamin C powder, like the famous one is ascorbic acid. It's synthetic, but that's the one that works, as opposed to fruit powders. It's hard to take enough fruit powder versions of vitamin C into you to have an effect. But ascorbic acid, be it that it's synthetic, works. Anyway, he takes 2 grams, half a teaspoonful, every 6 minutes. 3 hours later, he's completely overcome his pneumonia. All symptoms have gone. Now, how is that possible? But if you think about bacteria reproducing, say, every 2 hours, right? I don't know exactly how quickly pneumonia bacteria reproduces, but it's very, very fast. So it's like a race. He took vitamin C every 6 minutes, which destroys bacteria. And within 3 hours of taking 2 grams every 6 minutes, his bacterial infection had gone.
Yeah.
Now, it's hard work taking 2 grams of vitamin C every 6 minutes. I'm not saying it's easy, but that's how you do it. And this knowledge has been known for decades. Prior to that, by the turn of the last century, they were using electrotherapy to
Yeah.
reverse pneumonia. I've got textbooks that the doctors used to get on the very subject. But now, of course, both those methods, vitamin C is way too cheap, and the machine is way too cheap. You want expensive drugs that you can sell for £75,000 a round, So the business model is a patient cured is a customer lost.
Yeah.
You're on their drugs forever.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
while medicine is for profit, you've got to expect people to succumb to corruption, which unfortunately is what happens.
Yeah, I did a really interesting interview with Thomas Levy. I think I probably told you about it.
Well, he is
Leading.
Mr. Vitamin C,
Yeah,
Dr.
he
Thomas
really
Levy.
is. He
Yeah,
really is.
I did a talk with him about
Did
20 years
you?
ago.
Oh,
He's
amazing.
brilliant,
Yeah,
brilliant.
leading cardiologist, written loads of books, and yeah, he shares the story of how he, as a cardiologist, then when he saw the use of vitamin C, which completely reversed someone's heart issues, it's like, hold on a minute, I can't carry on doing what I've been doing. Now I know this, amazing.
And just to mention Dr. Levy, the cofactors that he found for heart conditions, the cofactors along with vitamin C were magnesium, D-ribose, which is a type of sugar, and CoQ10.
Right. Okay. Interesting. I mean, I also did an interview with him on, well, the title of his pa the paper that he'd written was Why Root Canals Cause Cancer, but that's a topic for another time. Fascinating guy. Anyways, so on vitamin C then. So, I mean, I'm absolutely with you on this. So, but for a daily dose for most of us, and certainly if somebody has quit alcohol, lots of people listening will have quit alcohol. They'll be in those early stages of just starting to think, oh God, hold on a minute. What I put in my body is important. Maybe for the first time, they'll be starting to think about good nutrition and the supplements they need. So what would be a sensible, in inverted commas, a decent dose for everyone? Because I mean,
Yeah,
it doesn't
I
cause
would.
any harm, does it? It's just going to make you run to the loo if you have too much, I suppose.
Well, that's absolutely right. The body's self-regulating with that and magnesium. Take too much at once or too much over a day. You're in the bathroom, the body says that's too much. So I would recommend anybody starts with a quarter of a teaspoonful of vitamin C powder in water. And if that hasn't led you to a visit to the bathroom, then the next time take half a teaspoonful. And most people find that's a nice level. It doesn't last long, so best to do it in the mornings and the afternoons.
But then if you've got something that you want, if you do have a cold or whatever, you can take more, right?
Well, yeah, the body's self-regulating. So I've seen reports of people who've needed 100 grams in a day, even more.
Wow.
I've actually witnessed it. With people who are really ill, their body will take huge amounts of it, but you can't do it all at once. You've got to do it in divided
Yeah.
doses, so you've got
And
to
what's
wait.
your view on people that say, well, it has to be the liposomal vitamin C, that
Well,
kind of
that's very
liquid?
nice.
Very expensive, isn't it?
It's expensive. Dr. Levy's one it is,
Ultrient C, I think it is, isn't
yeah,
it?
made by Livon Labs. I would think that's probably the best. It comes in small sachets because once you've opened, let's say you get a bottle of it and you've opened it, you've only got a few weeks before
Right.
it's gone rancid. It doesn't mean it's going to taste rancid, but it will have done. Whereas Thomas Levy's little sachets are more convenient, but not cheap. Whereas ascorbic acid, the one that tastes sharp and lemony, is ludicrously inexpensive. But you've got to watch out because, like a lot of products these days, there's the good stuff and the bad stuff. So, on the label of the brand that I sell, which is my name, Clive Dekar, it says in big letters non-GMO because
Yeah.
most of the stuff you buy in the supermarket or wherever is going to be the genetically modified version.
Is it really? Well, I mean, this is something, this is why I love, you know, what you do, and I love your products, because I know that you put a huge amount of time and attention into making sure that you've got the best ingredients, you've got the purest quality. And as you say, we can't just rock up and buy anything from anywhere. But so you mentioned your, the one that you have, the one that I use is your ascorbic acid. But what about capsules then? Are they not, in inverted commas, as good as the powder or the liposomal?
Well, the capsules, because of the production method, are more expensive. Some people say, well, look, I see that yours are this price, but I could get it for £5 less or whatever it might be. The thing is that we run our machines without flow agents, without fillers, without the cheap brands, so that they can run the machine fast. You know, they put in agents that we wouldn't touch because they're basically chemically derived, and we don't want that. So our stuff is slightly more expensive because we have much more staff costs for the time it takes to pump them out. But we do capsules as well.
But for the vitamin C, what do you think the difference is?
Oh, well, it's just you got to take, let's say you want 2 grams, you can fit maybe 700 milligrams-ish, 600, 700 milligrams in a capsule. So you really need to take 3 capsules twice a day.
Right, so you mean.
It depends what people find easier. Is 3 capsules easier, or is some water? You know, you dilute it quite a bit. It's quite pleasant. You know, a lot of people think it improves water.
Yeah, absolutely. Just while we're on the topic of vitamin C as well, you do those fantastic shower sprays that contain vitamin C. And, you know, years and years ago, when I used to do lots of talks around on natural skincare and toxic chemicals and all the rest of it in our skincare and our home care products, one of the things I used to talk about back then was the fact that people forget the water quality. You know, they put all these creams on their skin or they do this, that, but they then forget that they're then going to go and shower or take a bath, and the water is chock full of chlorine. Whereas your vitamin C shower thing, oh man, it's fantastic, isn't it?
Well, it's particularly women who say it because it seems to improve skin tone. I like to have a bath, so I don't use it. But when I have a bath, let's say I'm away and I know there's going to be chlorine in the water, before I run it, I'll put some vitamin C powder in the bath.
In the water,
And then run the water. And whereas previously it might have stunk of chlorine, the moment chlorinated water touches vitamin C, it neutralizes it.
Neutralizes it, yeah.
And
amazing.
Similarly, if I'm going to somewhere like Birmingham, where I might know that there is fluoride in the water, I'll take some borax.
Oh, okay. Now that's an old-fashioned word, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, people used to use it as a washing agent, you know, for washing clothes. Now they've banned it because a lot of people find it aids their recovery from arthritis. A lot of people find that it totally boosts their testosterone hormone levels. Borax is an amazing powder, safer than salt, as I understand it.
Right.
They banned it, but you can probably get tablets of boron. Boron is what's in borax.
Right.
And so it is possible to get it. And for some people, it's night and day. You know, some people are totally unaffected.
But you can't buy borax powder anymore.
Well, they sell borax substitute, which doesn't work. You can buy, if you can get somebody to send you borax from America, it's freely available there.
Interesting.
And you can probably find it online because people don't care about whether it's legal or not. They just sell it anyway. Mm. So you can probably find borax.
Yeah.
A teaspoonful or two in the bath will neutralize fluoride. If you've got fluoride in the water that you're drinking or cooking in, a little pinch of boron will neutralize that. Clearly, if you can afford it, you want a proper filter to get that rubbish out. But possibly worse than that are the birth control pills and antibiotics and all the drugs going round and round if there's recycled sewage in your water and it's worth ringing the water supplier. So where does it come from? Is it a beautiful underground, untouched spring or aquifer, or is it recycled water from everybody else? And if it is, you need a pretty serious filter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I had a friend in Cornwall, literally had a spring in his garden, a well in his garden. He got all the water all tested and it was all fabulous. Oh, God, how lucky is that?
Yeah.
Oh, but, we could dream.
Many houses in the country either had a stream or a spring or a well, because how else would you get your water? So there's so many houses I've been to over the years, and you see there's a well, but it's they've blocked it up.
Yeah, of course, of
Such a
course,
shame.
of course. Talk while we're on old style words, iodine is another incredible old style thing that you introduced me back to. I vaguely remembered my grandma talking about it, which when of course it would have been available on any street corner, but it's been long forgotten because again it's very cheap, isn't it? And just remind us of the benefits of iodine, because I mean what I've found, and certainly with lots of the clients I've worked with, it's been really helpful for menopausal women. It seems to be incredible for bringing down hot flushes.
Well, it really is. Did our ancestors have as many problems at menopause as we
No,
do?
absolutely, they
Well,
didn't.
one of the reasons is the chlorine and the fluoride. If you're still using toothpaste with fluoride or bathing in chlorine, you have to stop, because what that does, they're all halogens, and bromine, chlorine, fluoride will essentially displace iodine. So where the iodine should be, fluoride and chlorine will be instead. That means hormonal issues. That means all the menopausal issues, from hot flushes to cold hands and feet to brain fog to dry skin. If you've got dry skin on your elbows, that's for sure iodine deficiency. If a woman is pregnant and she's had long-term iron deficiency, the child will be born with a low IQ. Doctors recognize this. Well, they used to. They used to call it cretinism. People would call each other a cretin as an insult for being stupid. And that's an iodine deficiency in the mother. So iodine is about IQ. But the thing that menopausal women notice, usually very quickly, often within days, is suddenly their temperature evens out. And how do you know you've got enough iodine? Is when your temperature evens out and you get up in the morning, maybe you throw the covers off, keep lying in bed, take your temperature a couple of times, and if it's normal, then you're good to go. If it's below normal, you're hypothyroid. Then there's hyperthyroid, where the thyroid is, if you like, working too much. But the answers are the same, whether it's low or high functioning. Low iodine, low selenium are the two big ones that are used to correct the situation. Now, doctors might correct it with an artificial thyroid hormone, which is a version of thyroid 4, T4, but you have to convert that to T3. When the doctors do a test, they will test your T3 levels, but what they don't test, they're looking for free T3, but what they should be looking for as well is reverse T3. So free T3 is how much is in the body. Reverse T3 is how you can tell from the reverse figure how much the body is actually used, as opposed to peeing out the other end. Doctors are pretty bad on thyroid testing. On the Secret Health Club, my private members association, there is a section on the thyroid and a section on iodine where you can learn from experts like Dr. Levy about how to figure out what dose to give. And as you know, Janie, in Japan, up until recently, they had no word for menopause.
No, it,
It
yeah.
didn't happen because of all the iodine they got from the
They were,
seafood.
yeah, exactly. It was they were taking it naturally, as it were, just from their food and being by the sea and having tons of kelp, I suppose.
Seaweed galore. I mean, every meal, generally in Japan.
But we
And
couldn't take in that. We couldn't, if we, if we were to sort of buy some, I don't know, seaweed from the health shop, it's not going to be enough, is it?
well, the
Typically.
Japanese, I used to do business with the Japanese for years, and I went out there a lot. And what they can flavor seaweed up with is mind-blowingly fantastic.
Right.
You think you've been to a good Japanese restaurant in England, go to one in Tokyo, and they can make seaweed taste like the most delicious thing you've ever tasted, as opposed to perhaps not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean that's a fantastic tip. And you mentioned selenium. As you say, it's good to take some selenium with iodine. Selenium is really is incredible. I know we've spoken about it before, but it's very expensive, isn't it, to get the good stuff?
Well, it depends how you look at it. I mean, we sell a tiny bottle for £60 and a equally tiny bowl, but not quite so tiny, for £100. But the £100 one will last you a year.
Right. So you really don't need much.
But 10 quid a month is the end of the world.
Sure.
And I'd put it in smaller bottles, but you only use one drop every couple of days. We could, you wouldn't be able to read the label if I made the bottle smaller.
Yeah.
So it's not really expensive. And everybody tested for mineral deficiencies, which are leading to fibromyalgia, for instance, chronic fatigue, you can bet that all of them basically will be low on selenium and magnesium and vitamin C.
But really?
Particularly with fibromyalgia, it's right up there.
Yeah.
But the problem with a lot of these things is people are eating seed oils.
Yeah.
They're eating out, whether they use the cheapest oils or they're using sunflower oil, or even if it's organic, all the vegetable oils, with the exception of coconut, if that's a vegetable, which probably not, and extra virgin olive oil, organic, all the other ones are basically rancid, even though they don't taste it.
Mm.
And Alzheimer's, dementia, all that stuff. What's the real problem? I would say seed oils.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Easy spread butter, that kind of thing.
God, yeah. I mean, margarine is like one molecule away from plastic, isn't it? Really, you may as well, it's incredible. It's incredible how everything just kind of tipped up at a certain point and food became not food.
Well, they blame sugar, for instance, for a lot of the bad stuff going on. They used to blame high cholesterol, but now most people have woken up that high cholesterol is actually good for you if it's natural. And while sugar obviously gets a bad rap for a lot of reasons, I think seed oils are more dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is that all these artificially ultra-processed foods have knock-on effects. I mean, let's just take sugar. For every molecule of sugar that you eat, and that could be sugar that's been converted from beer or from wheat or your bread or whatever, pasta, for every one molecule of sugar, the body needs 50 molecules of magnesium to deal with it. Now, that's no problem if you've got enough magnesium. If we were eating food like our ancestors did from soil that hasn't been virtually destroyed, vegetables are full of magnesium. Chlorophyll, the base of that is magnesium, just like blood in an animal, the base of that is iron. So, you'd think that vegetables would contain all the magnesium you need, but not anymore. They used to 150 years ago, but not now. Why do people crave chocolate? Could it be for the magnesium and the chromium in there?
Mm.
When I first tried chromium as a supplement, my desire to eat the quantities of chocolate that I used to went down. And because I'm type 1 diabetic, chromium is one of those things that anybody diabetic type 1 or type 2 probably might benefit from chromium. There are a couple of versions of one called chromium GTF, which stands for glucose tolerance factor, or there's one called chromium picolinate, and they're ever so inexpensive. I don't sell them on my website at the moment. I will be as a sort of diabetic formula a bit later on. But
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach. Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
There's so much I could talk to you about, Clive. Let me just ask you quickly about probiotics, because, you know, people are obviously aware that their gut health is really important. And, you know, you really need to balance the second brain, as we call the gut sometimes. So where are you at with probiotics? Do you think we should take probiotic capsules? Do you think we should have prebiotics? Do you think we can do it just with food?
Any way that you can do it would be good. That obviously different things happen at different stages in the gut. So, I mean, let's say you were born normally, not by cesarean. You would have picked up all the friendly bacteria from mum, who got from granny, and so on back down the line. So if you were born by cesarean, you haven't picked up all of that. So probably more important for you to consider fermented vegetables or whatever it may be. However, while probiotics are fantastic, and you can make them at home for nothing by fermenting some cabbage or fermenting whatever you like, you can pickle peppers, you can pickle tomatoes, you can pickle onions, in loads of ways. And I've made videos about how to do it, as have thousands of other people. It's so easy. It takes 5-10 minutes to make, you know, the ferment, which you then put in a dark cupboard for a few days, and now you've got pickled onions or whatever you want. It's not that you add vinegar. What you do is you get salt and water to taste, the right amount of salt that you like it, and then make sure that whatever you want to pickle is under the water. You can push it down with a saucer or whatever you like, leave it, you know, preferably in a kiln or jar or something. It's so simple to do. And so you get B vitamins, you get probiotics. But if you want to restore the probiotics you got from mum, then we need to look at what foods our ancestors ate. Now, not, you know, everywhere in the world is different, but in a lot of cultures, they would have eaten root vegetables when there was nothing else around.
Yeah.
And in a root vegetables, there are types of sugars called oligosaccharides. And it turns out that the bacteria we were born with loves to eat oligosaccharides. So it's a prebiotic. And we sell a product which is called Panaceum, which is a blend of these oligosaccharides. Now, surprising number of people tell me they've noticed the difference on the first day.
When would you take that then? With a meal or before a meal?
Well, the instructions are on the label. I would recommend first thing in the morning before anything.
Right.
While the stomach is empty and it's got no competition, you know, wash it down with some lemon water or whatever you like to do in the mornings. But I might, you know, I might recommend taking it twice a day or even three times a day. But it's surprising how many people notice a difference when their original gut bacteria comes back to life. You know, I'd say everybody would make a difference, but that's not the case.
And probably finally, because I'm going to have to wrap up at some point, even though I could chat to you forever, vitamin D. I mean, oh my God, I've shared my vitamin D story 1,000 times, but to cut a very long story short, I was so massively deficient. It was ridiculous, utterly ridiculous. And the prescription I was given from the doctor, which was just laughable, contained a whole load of artificial sweeteners and only about 200 IU of vitamin D. So thankfully, I was bright enough to chuck that and start again and do it properly. We've got a kind of an epidemic of deficiency of vitamin D. Would you agree?
Well, you know, while they're putting in all the solar panels everywhere with government subsidies, they're dimming the sun.
Yeah, so, exactly. That should really help.
But most people are sun deficient just because they work.
Yes.
And they go,
yes.
You know, I'm lucky enough that when the weather's good, I can sit in the sun and I've got all the vitamin D I could possibly need. Mm. But in the winter, I used to get colds every year, several colds a year. I thought it was normal.
Yeah.
If it was really bad, I'd call it the flu, but it was still basically a cold. And, you know, it's a bacterial infection. So you can overcome those with vitamin C. You know, people say, oh, it's a virus. No, it's not. No, it's not. But vitamin D, after I started taking 10,000 IUs of vitamin D, when I remembered most days in winter, basically never got a cold ever again. That was 20 years or something. And learned that actually maybe the answers, particularly with health, are way, way simpler than I ever thought.
Mm-hmm.
And when you realize that actually your intuition, maybe something that most people don't use a lot, is really strong. And if you practice intuition, I mean, I used to notice sometimes that I'd see a glass and I'd think, you should move that. And then, bam, I knock it over. And it used to happen so often that I started listening to my intuition.
Trusting it.
And then when I discovered words and hypnosis, I remember one of my daughters, when she was young, running across the room, just come upstairs, and I could see that I had a glass of water. I could see the next thing was going, she was going to spill it. So I said to her, don't spill that. But because the mind doesn't understand a negative, when I said, don't spill that, she heard, spill that.
Spill it, yeah.
And very, next day or the next hour or something, my other daughter came up doing exactly the same thing. This time, having spotted my mistake, I said, hold it tightly, watch your step, which she did.
Yeah.
You know, we follow commands. We're sort of, and so it's taking control, realizing how powerful we are, how our intuition is so strong. And I think the more you realize that, the more you practice it, the better and better you get.
Yeah, interesting. Well, that's a good place to end, a good happy note to end on. I'll put all the links in the show notes to buy your fabulous stuff and to connect with you for the Secret Health Club, Clive, as well. I really appreciate your expertise and thank you so much for all the work you do. It's really amazing. I hope we get to meet up again soon.
I hope so. And, you know, anytime you want me to come back on,
there's
much more we could be talking about.
Yeah, there is. There's always loads more. Thanks ever so much, Clive. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jamie.
You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.